I'm joined on the sofa with, as I said, the fabulous Kirsten Johnson. Kirsten, as many of us know, is a head teacher at a local primary school here in the city. Now, we've spoken to you, I think, early on during lockdown, and we are aware of how busy you were during lockdown. You were delivering food parcels, keeping in touch with some of your children. The summer, I imagine, was spent preparing. So I have no idea how rested you actually were when you went back to work, but you've been back now 2 or 3 weeks?
Yeah, it's been two and a half, mm-hmm. I think. Okay. It's been, and yeah, it feels like a lot longer than that. It's been great. It's been really good to get back into the school building, but I think you're right with summer. Summer was a lot of reading, a lot of preparing, a lot of thinking. So whilst I was probably physically quite rested, mentally I was desperate to get back through the door of the school, so it was good.
And how's it been? So, what's the atmosphere like? How are the children doing? Has there been any sense of a return to normal? and do you see any deeper or wider impact of COVID-19?
Well, loads of questions there.
Yeah,
no, it's brilliant. So I think probably the first couple of days were spent with the staff, and that was the first time that we'd all been together in person for quite some time. So it was really emotional, actually, having people back in the building again and forming those connections with people that we just hadn't had. It was really hard not hugging anybody because I just wanted to gather everybody up. And I think we spent quite a bit of time on the first couple of days just, you know, sort of going through lots of preparation in terms of the way that things needed to be in the school, the changes that were going to have to happen, but also looking at staff's well-being and how they were feeling as well. So we did a bit of work on, you know, how people's lockdown experiences had been for them, because actually we know that there's value in giving people time to talk about that. So those first 2 days were really, really precious time together before the children came on the Wednesday. The Wednesday morning, we opened the gates and there was staff we had all different people using different entrances of the school, so there was staff manning different bits, but actually it was lovely because the children felt really welcome that there was staff there to greet them on their first day back. And I think for a few of us, it was, again, a really emotional experience, and I shed a tear or two when the children were coming in. Just how happy they were to be coming into school. We had one child had said to me as well, "Oh, Mrs. Johnston, it's so good to see you. How have you been?" And that threw me right over the edge.
Totally.
You know, because you don't always expect that from the children. Yeah. So it was great. So the atmosphere it was a short week for that coming back as well. And there was a buzz around the school. It was lovely to see the children being excited and wanting to come in, mixed with the sort of anxiety of making sure that all our procedures and protocols were working and that people were in the right places. And then very quickly into the second week, the atmosphere was that there were hints of normality in it. And, you know, that was because children were falling out with each other. And this, you know, we hadn't had this for 5 months. But for me, what that said was that the children felt comfortable being back in school again. And that was incredible. So I think that bit has been really good. I think looking at our procedures and making sure that we're keeping everybody safe is going generally quite well. The hardest thing at the moment, I think, for the children is that they can't be with each other cross-class. And my school is a wee school, so we only have one class at each year group. So and the children are used to mixing with each other in the playground, but it's very segregated at the moment.
Okay.
And they can only play with the children in their class. And that's hard. That is hard for them. So we spend a lot of time talking about why it has to be that way. So I think that's been challenging.
Yeah.
But the children are happy to be back,
that's
generally,
good. Yeah.
I would say.
Yeah.
Which is good.
And your colleagues, your staff, they are all supporting each other,
They're amazing.
You.
Yeah. My colleagues are utterly amazing. I feel so privileged that we have such a strong staff team who really look out for each other. I noticed this before lockdown, before we got into coronavirus, it was a really strong staff team. But this has just really proved that as well, how well people connect with each other and look out for each other So they're fabulous, absolutely wonderful. And it's really important that we keep that relationship going and that people feel that they can speak freely. And, you know, I was saying to staff as well, you need to tell me when you think things are not quite right, or if you notice something, please don't be afraid to say, we're all in this together, we've got to move things forward. You know, and they've been brilliant. They've been absolutely brilliant and so supportive, which
makes all the difference.
Does absolutely. Huge difference. Yeah. So,
have there been any unexpected benefits to this? And also, the flip side of the coin: has there been anything coming at you that you've not anticipated?
Yeah, there have been many benefits. There are definitely stronger connections between children and staff, and I think that's because of the way in which we delivered our online learning through lockdown. I think children felt really connected with their teacher because they could have more of that one-to-one time through their sort of correspondence back and forward. So I think that's been fantastic as well. That's been a real benefit. I think that we're seeing for some children progress in learning because they've been sat beside mum or dad or whoever's been supporting them at home with their learning, and they've had that really quality one-to-one time. So for some children there's been a real step forward in the learning, which is great. That's not the case for all children, and we knew that that was going to be something that we would, you know, we're looking at a programme of recovery or renewal, as we're calling it in school, and that is, we know that we need to find out where the children are now, and there's no judgments around that. There's no, you know, we just accept that that's where they are, and we plan for how we move children forward with that. But I think as well, from the on the flip side of things being challenging as well, one thing that was very unexpected, and we should have seen it coming, but I think we just didn't quite feature it in our thinking, is that because children are back with each other and are mixing together, they're all getting the cold, and therefore they're all coughing. So it's really tricky. It's been really difficult to know about what to do. And so anxiety levels for everybody have gone through the roof about, is this coronavirus? Is that a coronavirus cough? What is a coronavirus cough? So I think probably not last week, but the week before, our absence levels were huge. And we knew that we were being overcautious. We knew that children were suffering from the colds because they were back in circulation. But there was always that slight caveat of, well, what if we haven't quite got that right? So we, a few children we sent home, parents were being absolutely wonderful. They were phoning in saying, look, do you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to keep him at home for 48 hours and see how things pan out. But we didn't see it coming, you know?
And that's only going to get worse.
I think it will. I think last week was slightly better for absence levels, and I think people have sort of relaxed a little bit, and perhaps guidance has been more direct about what to be looking for as well, and that's been really helpful for us. So I think that, you know, we might have a period of 2 or 3 weeks where absence levels are generally higher. My hope is that things plateau for a while before winter kicks in, and then we'll be back to panicking again. Lots of things to think about.
Without trying to be doom and gloom, but what are your fears for the weeks and months ahead, and how can we best pray for you in that time?
I think probably the obvious fear, and some schools will have already been there. They've had a positive case, and I think that is a fear. It's a fear of, because it's a, you know, you fear for the child or the person who that has happened to, but you fear for your systems and protocols. Have they been robust enough? You fear for the contacts of those children that may end up having to be back at home again, and then we end up back in a situation where we're looking at going back to blended learning, where things need to go online again. And for us, you know, we had a really good system going, I think, during lockdown, but we need to get back to that, and we need to move it on a little bit further. So, but I was also very aware for our teaching staff as well that they were spending very long hours preparing online learning. So I fear for them, for their own sort of health and well-being, that we're back in that situation again. So I think, I suppose, it's hard. You pray that it doesn't happen. But if it does happen, which it might, you just pray that we do the right things and that we are on top of things and that we make sure that we look after people as best we can. So that would be something we would be certainly thinking about.
As well as being a head teacher, you're also a wife and a mum.
I forget about that sometimes.
Yeah. And how's the family?
The family are well. The family are really well, thank you. I think, you know, my children are back to school now as well, and for them it's a big year for both of them. Lucy she's in her fourth year, so she's going to be sitting her National Fives this year. And for Finlay, he's in fifth year, so he'll be sitting his Highers. So
nice, anxious free year for you.
Really anxious free year. So so for them, I think it's just getting them back into the swing of actually having to get up in the morning at 6 o'clock again, get back to school, get into the way of thinking of managing classes and remembering that actually homework's really important and we need to just get on top of it. So, but they're doing well, and I think they're relatively pleased to be back at school, which is good.
Yeah.
And Colin's well, life continues on for him in a fairly normal trajectory. So, and he is just hugely supportive. He tends to do a lot of the picking up of the work of the children and managing their homework levels and keeping all the things that I don't have the time to be able to do.
Good.
So yeah, it's good.
Good.
It's good. And what about you, Ali? So you're obviously probably now 3 weeks into, we're 3 weeks on from where you are, but you're going to be going back to uni and you're going to be bringing students in again as well. So I can kind of reflect on how I felt 3 weeks ago. So I wonder, what are the things that are keeping you awake at night then, apart from Dave?
What's keeping me awake at night? So we go back to teaching tomorrow week. Students are starting to arrive back. I actually was on campus on Friday, which was lovely, but it's so quiet. So it was lovely, but weird at the same time. And it was literally to get in and get some books. So we are all online, very much so. And, you know, my university's been great at the messages that it's sent out to us and to the students. It's the little things, because we've had to make that shift to online in such a short space of time. And we're trying to do as much as possible to ensure that, well, students coming away from home, this is a rite of passage. It's a life-defining moment. You know, they're adamant, I am leaving home. I have a nephew who's at that stage as well. I'm leaving home. And that's great. And we want you to get into halls, but it's going to be such a different experience. And how do you make a student feel part of a learning community when they're in a bedroom in a hall? Lots of anxiety of actually what the first few weeks are going to look like. But the things that are keeping me awake at night are I wake up remembering the emails that I forgot to send about this, that and the other. It's the little things. I keep a notepad by my bed because you just need to write it down. So first thing in the morning, that's what I must do. Because the focus has been so much on having all my teaching preparation ready, that it's all there, that students can engage. And we're all flying blind, and it's just, I think 3 weeks under my belt, I'll feel completely differently. I have no idea what it's going to look like.
And I think, I'm sure for students as well, that, you know, that the change from school where they're used to face-to-face teaching and being able to make connections with teachers and lecturers, that's going to be difficult for them as well. And because you'll want to create that same ethos, but it's harder when there's a screen in the way.
Yeah.
So,
and I've no idea how it's going to look like. You know, we continually encourage our students to just come and knock on our door and speak to us, and we can't do that anymore. And it's just going to be very different. And it remains to be seen. And you know, I look very closely at what's happening in the US, where a lot of universities have gone back, and elsewhere around the world. And we know that students don't like it. You know, it's not what they signed up for. Totally understand that, but it is what it is, and we have to try and make the most of it. We just have to see how it pans out.
And so for us thinking about things that we want to pray for you, what would your top priorities be?
I think pretty much like church, that the technology works.
Yeah.
Because we're fortunate that we have the technology, because I do not know where we'd be without it. And yet, you know, I know that not everybody's going to have a decent laptop. Some students are going to be doing this on their phone, and they may not have a bedroom to themselves that they can do their work in. Do you know, we're all in that mix of trying to figure it out. I think just remembering that someone else is in control.
Yeah.
You know, I'm too often go back to, I can do this, I will fix this, I will sort this out.
Actually, I get that.
Yeah, I really can't. I have got, like, I hear a lot of what you say. I have fantastic colleagues. And I knew that before lockdown, but the way we've rallied around and support each other has been brilliant. So that's just great to know that we're all, you know, we do feel that we're all in it together and we're pulling with each other.
I think that's such an important thing. I know I certainly feel that as well. And through the head teacher community, there are always people who are thinking the same things and having the same worries that you're having.
Yeah.
So it's great to be able to draw on that. And actually, our leaders have been really good as well, actually, in supporting us and making sure that we feel ready as well. So it's good.
Thank you. Well, thank you very much for joining me on the sofa.
Thank you.
I feel like I'm some breakfast TV show, actually, which we're not. But please do keep Kirsten and all of the children in prayer, and also schools and also universities as they go back during what is a very difficult time for all of them. But thank you very much, Kirsten.
Thank you.
Hand back to my lovely assistant again.